Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here with another vlog from the CSGO Major. It's 5:30. I'm a little bit tired. If I struggle to speak, it's because I've not had all the coffee I need to kickstart the brain. So apologies for that. But let's take a look at what happened yesterday and then take a look ahead to the predictions for day four. But day three did have lots of ups and downs. It was a very interesting day of Counter-Strike. I had a much better day for predictions on day three. But there were still some notable examples of things that I just didn't really foresee. And I did get some predictions wrong. And I'm going to add some caveats to that. So let's start by talking about the Fnatic versus Mouse Sports game. Fnatic, I still don't really know what's going on there. I mean, I really don't. It just seems crazy to me that they've got all this talent, but it's like focus, you know? It's just so hard. It's like, sure, maybe they are distracted because of all of this roster swap stuff. But they fluctuate from kind of looking really poor, like they've got some fundamental issues going on, and then individual moments of skill just kind of pull them through, and you think, oh, okay, fair enough. And I think this is why, for example, Disco Doppler and Twist haven't had particularly good majors. It's no coincidence that the three players that have performed at various levels are the three that everyone is speculating is going to stay within the team. That is JW and Flusher. That's going to go back to Fnatic and replace Disco Doppler and Twist. That's a huge distraction to have coming into a major. And if you think about some of the performances Twist was having at DreamHack events and other events, back when he was in Godsend, he was unreal. He was a monster. He's more than capable of performing at this level. Hasn't. Disco Doppler has the inexperience excuse. Thought it was quite telling that Olaf Meister felt the need to address it in an interview and say, I don't think Disco Doppler's been playing bad. I don't think he's done bad at all. He sort of has, Olaf. I mean, I don't want to tell you Counter-Strike because you are fucking Olaf Meister, but he's not been at the level he was to get into Fnatic. And that's inarguably a regression. So, very strange situation. I think all of this rampant speculation, which we have to call it that at the moment, but certainly my understanding is it's legitimate, it's true. It's definitely taken its toll on the team. Now, that said, I did predict them to beat Mouse Sports. And this is great because I get to go in on Mouse Sports a little bit, which obviously I always enjoy. And let's talk a little bit about that. Because this was perfect for Mouse Sports. This was a perfect opportunity for them to get a win. Perfect opportunity for them to, show the finger to the doubters, get themselves in pole position, get into those legendary positions. The veto, I've seen some awful fucking vetoes this event. I mean, it's blown my mind. The amount of pro teams that cannot do a veto that puts them in a favorable position is staggering. To me, it's absolutely staggering. These are some of the worst vetoes I've ever seen, actually, when it comes to doing your homework. And analysts and talent get a lot of stick. You don't know the game, you haven't played at a high level. I'm pretty sure I could do a veto that would make me avoid my opponent's strongest maps, even with a randometer in there. And I said this on broadcast, if you want to shut down Mouse Sports, you take out Dust 2, you take out Cash, and then all of a sudden you're probably going to beat them because they don't look good on any other map right now. And they don't look great on Cash, but Dust 2 is the classic Mouse Sports map. This is the map you don't want to play Mouse Sports on. And Fnatic did, and it's quite telling. Mouse Sports lost. I mean, they lost pretty, not heavily, but it's comprehensive, 16-11. And this was Lowell's kind of first non-existent performance of the LAN, but Nico was up there, Dennis was up there. Yeah, it's a tough one. I thought Mouse Sports had moments where they were in control and they just threw away silly rounds and made some mistakes. They lost some duels. But Fnatic, make no mistake about it, they're there for the taking right now. I think if you're a team of Mouse Sports caliber and you get Dust2 against them, you should be expecting to win. So even though I predicted Fnatic to win this once purely on the basis that Mouse Sports were awful, this veto should have proved me a fool. It should have made me look stupid, and it didn't. So I think Mouse Sports have all sorts of problems. If you can't even buy a win against the struggling team on Dust2, against a failing team, even a talented team, when you're the team that has everything going for you, you know, you're the team with the solid roster, you're the team with one of the world's great stars, you know, you're the team with the consistent AWP player. All of these things should mean Mouse Sports should have won this match and didn't. So I think they've got a lot of problems moving forward. Don't know what's going to happen. My spider sense tells me maybe they're going to get involved in the roster change stuff. Did hear some crazy rumors going back as far as, I think it was Oakland, actually, that they're looking for a high-profile addition to the team. But we'll wait and see. But I was right on this one, and you know, in the end, it wasn't even really close. Envious were up next against Godsend. That one I was wrong about. And there's not really anything to kind of break down or analyze about it because it was so comprehensively one-sided in favor of Envious. I mean, it's 16-3. This is, again, the joint highest score so far in the major. And it just comes down to the fundamental reality that Godsend are just a Jekyll and Hyde team. You know, Envious have all the same problems they have coming into it. They're too reliant on Kenny S. Happy's Ultralurk style seems to be an ongoing issue. Does Six a frag enough? Apex has to make the entries. And NBK has to be the solid shutdown guy on CT. If all of those things happen, then Envious are a team that can really be considered a contender in any matchup, but those things rarely happen all at once. You have to play incredibly poorly to enable, you know, and activate Envious to that degree, and that's exactly what Godsend did. Godsend were woefully poor across almost across the board. Here's the two high points really for Godsend in this game. Flusher, incredibly consistent again. The most consistent player in the team, definitely shows that he can go, even though he might not be peak Flusher, he could definitely slot into a team of Fnatic's caliber ahead of a player like Disco Doppelin and add something. Lecro is the other kind of high point, if you like. He's got fragging ability. He is incredible on the pistol rounds, especially with a Deagle. Definitely gives you that extra dimension. Unfortunately, JW had a very good first game. There's a reason why he had his head in his hands at the end of this game. He's gone 7-19. He's a better player than that. But JW struggled for form for a long, long time. He knows it. He knows this is getting to a point where it's, you know, almost like a crisis. I guess, even though the rumors are that he's going to be going back to Fnatic, I think he just knows that personal form is way off what it used to be. Now, Schneider massively underperformed. I think he's been pretty poor this major for an incredible talent. And it's just very strange to see JW and Schneider kind of lag behind Pronax, you know, in frags and ADR and this sort of thing. These are not good numbers. Pronax has to be the weakest link in Godsend if they're in a game. So, yeah, it was absolutely awful performance from Godsend. I think maybe I got caught up a little bit in the prediction because I've seen French shuffles before. I've seen what they do to teams. Generally, just prior to a French shuffle, both French teams shut down and they perform at an incredibly poor level. Hasn't really been the case with G2 or Envious this time around. So that's what I was kind of banking on. That and the fact that Godsend did turn up in a big way at the qualifier and really surprised everybody. And you think to yourself, well, you took that time off from China. There's got to be an ace up your sleeve. Well, here's what I will say. Outside of Train, which Godsend are never going to get again this major, I don't understand what their best maps are. I don't understand what their map pool looks like. They just seem to put up these Hail Marys and try. And honestly, it's just not good enough. It's not good enough for a team of this caliber. I think Godsent is one of those things. Like, I think back to my video I made where I said Godsent should be the best team in Sweden. On paper, I stand by that. I think that's true. But I think back to the people who... NIP fans, of course. So you can't trust anything they say. But I think back to the people who said, you know, the real winner of the Swedish Shuffle is NIP because they've become the best team in Sweden. And I laughed at that. Turned out they were inarguably correct. You know, they were right. I was wrong. Godsent, you know, they're awful. They're just so bad. And it makes no sense to me why they're so bad. And I think that project is going to implode. You know, I don't really know what's going to happen if you do take those two star names out and put two Swedes in. I don't know what happens to Godsent. I don't know what it looks like. Obviously, Arfresh will keep it going. But, yeah, I think it's a doomed project now. I think it's got that smell about it, you know? You know when a team's just fucked and it's just... It cannot be fixed. It must be destroyed and be rebuilt. Like some ancient prophecy. I think Godsent have that now. Because this is just an unbelievable... Right. Godsent and Envious are so similar in terms of ability and all the problems they have. This should at least have been a competitive game. You've got a star player on each that needs to be at peak form for them to be competitive in games. They've got in-game leaders who've been criticized for their in-game leading. I suppose the polarization there is Happy actually does frag, Pronax not so much. You've got players that come in and kind of just purely support, and people question whether or not they're going to, you know, make that telling contribution. You've got entry frag. You know, there's a lot of similarities here. And ultimately, for Godsent to be so woefully behind Envious is truly shocking to me. Truly shocking. And especially when, you know, you see a player like Schneider with 36 ADR. That's, you know, what are you doing, you know? Three rounds. I mean, really, really shocking. So, wrong on that one, but I don't think anybody could have foreseen it being so utterly one-sided. You know, I stand by that. I think that's a truly shocking result. Not so much the win, but the nature of the win. North versus Hellraisers. This is where I was on point. No doubt about it. I did say this was going to be an absolute shit show if you go watch yesterday's vlog. North are terrible right now. I don't know what's going on. I'm starting to wonder if maybe the distractions around getting the move to North have played a part in it all. And Hellraisers is terrible as well. I mean, you know, just in terms of the major, Dead Fox hasn't looked anything like his old self. It's truly bizarre. I don't think I've seen a player play so well in a qualifier for the major, get to the major, and then be this bad. I mean, I'd love to look at the numbers. Perhaps a fan or one of you guys out there can do that. I'd love to see the numbers of players who've come through a qualifier to a major and then been shit at a major. Because I think the disparity will be quite alarming for Dead Fox. It'll really blow your mind. Meanwhile, Angel, who is having this resurgence in his career, couldn't even power his team to a win. But I mean, everybody else this time was at least vaguely in the ballpark. You know, Stiko Zero had some great rounds, some good clutch rounds. Bondic was doing what, you know, Bondic does. Dead Fox, just no way. He's just so far adrift from his teammates. He's actually drag factor, you know. He's the reason they cannot win close games like this. And let's be clear, they had their opportunities. North, meanwhile, you want to talk about people not turning up at the major. I mean, Config, holy moly. This guy's such a phenomenal talent, yet so far off the pace again. Cajun has elevated his individual level of games. And here's what I will say. Yeah, Magic's boy, we all expect him to do well. So, you know, I don't need to pontificate too much about what a wonderful player he is. Everybody knows where he's positioned right now. But I see so many fucking idiots, and it blows my mind. You know, you're an analyst, you don't understand the game. Now, kick Rubino and add another star player, and North will be amazing. Rubino digs them out of so many fucking holes that they get themselves into with, like, needlessly aggressive play or taking risky aim duels when it doesn't pay off, or if MSL has a bad day entry fragging and therefore loses a bunch of open duels. Rubino's the fucking soldier. Yeah, he will have the odd bad game. So, more often than not, Rubino will have a bad game when they get completely fucking blown out and destroyed. In which case, he's not, everyone's having a bad game. He's not the sole factor they lose matches, but he is often the sole factor they win. And he has done this repeatedly, where he will have these games, especially on CT sides, where he will just lock down bomb sites, he will turn around numerical discrepancies by picking up two or three quick frags with some smart play, good positioning. He is one of the, you know, archetypal kind of support players. He knows he doesn't need to be a star. He activates the other people around them. He makes them better. And when the team functions, Rubino is the guy that ultimately kind of, he's almost like, okay, there's a saying in rugby that it's your backs, you know, the wingers, the runners, the people who score. Backs win matches, but forwards decide by how much. They're the people in the scrum, they're the people that give you the territory. And if your forwards are having a good game and you can get the ball out to your back line, and your back line can fucking run up a bunch of points and you can keep giving them preferential territory, you know, that's how, that's the synergistic relationship between the two components of the team. This is true of North. Like, Rubino dug them out here. This is an overtime win against fucking Hellraisers to stay in the major. This doesn't even get you out of the group. This is just to literally not go home. The fact North are in this position is a fucking disgrace. You know, I keep hearing these rumors about them being the highest paid team in the world, that they've gone above Virtus Pro now and they're on something like 20,000 a month. That would definitely explain a lot of things about why they were keen to sign this, even though it kind of felt a little bit strange to go from something like the Philly 76ers to FC Copenhagen, just in terms of scope and scale. But this is just absolutely insane how poor they were. And if it's not for Magic's boy and Rubino, and you know, to a lesser extent Cajun, they're really struggling here. I think I saw Rubino make a bunch of clutches in this game, and obviously Magic's as well. It was so close, and I just knew it was going to be a shit show. And honestly, I've just got no faith in the North project at the moment. I hate myself for getting sucked in by Thorin and Yanko and my other talent friends, because I had the right idea. I said, look, before Epicenter, I said, I'm not really sold on him. I still think there's just a couple of elements. I think Cajun can be inconsistent. You know, I think they've got two phenomenally young, talented players, but I'm there's something about them I don't like. And I wrote this up, and I wrote an article when I had to pick, like, who's going to win the E-League Season 2. And I said it can't be Dignitas, even though Duncan and other people are saying it's Dignitas. But then, obviously, they went and won Epicenter. So then I wrote an article saying, oh, we've got a new player on a world stage. Now, since then, they've done fuck all, honestly. So I wish I'd stuck to my guns a little bit. Because this is the North I kind of, well, no, okay, not this one. This is fucking terrible. But, you know, I expect North to labor through tournaments and really only turn up and put on polished performances for the big games when they can get fired up and hyped. This is awful. I mean, this is awful. So they've really got a lot to do. You know, MSL said in the interview after this, oh, hopefully this win gives us confidence. There's nothing to be high-fiving about here. You have struggled to beat Hellraisers in overtime. One of your star players hasn't turned up. Yeah, really, really bad. So, you know, Danish CS, man. It fucking does it again. It strikes again. So next up on the day was Gambit versus Pro. I was really looking forward to this one. Been super impressed with Gambit, but was pretty confident that Virtus Pro was going to win. And that was my prediction. North of my prediction for the previous one, by the way. So doing all right so far. You know, I've got 3 out of 4. And, I kind of felt a little bit sorry for Gambit because they are doing exactly what I'm expecting them to do right now, which is it's not even about having a map pool. They can just be individually competitive. But let me tell you where they lost this game. I'm, you know, oh, Richard, you don't know what you're talking about again. Right, whatever. We can be specific here. There was this real, real problem on the map. For Gambit, where they just couldn't hold Ivy down. They just couldn't lock Ivy down. Mo just got fucking wrecked. He just got wrecked at Ivy. It's such a crucial part of the map. Because obviously, yes, you know, main is kind of the key. And you know, but there's a nice little balance there. because you've got the connector area, and you can, there's places you can kind of hide and lurk if you do need to, and you can fall back, you can get rotates on. It's about getting through the other angles. Like, once the T's explode onto that site, you've really got to be able to pick them off by getting priority flanks, right? You've got to be able to come from other angles and get into and kind of keep them off kilter and pick them off one by one before you go for a concerted retake. That's always been the mechanics of the map. On the remake, even more so. And this is why you can't give up Ivy so easily. And Mo did. He couldn't lock it down, couldn't control it. They were picking him for fun. He went 9 for 22 as a result of that. And I think if Gambit had made a switch, put somebody with a bit more of effectiveness there, or just made a change or anything, I think that's the audible I would have called, because it was a clear issue. And Virtus Pro know how to exploit weaknesses and will do it mercilessly. Now, I understand they didn't even need Neo to have a good game here. I thought Pasha had his best game in the major. Snacks, consistent form. Taz, holy fucking shit, this guy should have a kid every tournament. This guy's fucking unreal. I haven't seen Taz play this consistently well for a good time. And it just goes to show, man, life in the old dog yet. It's phenomenal. So Virtus Pro had all the parts working here. But, you know, special shout out to the veteran Adrian. And obviously Hobbit had a good game here as well. But Adrian, I keep saying it, I think there's an argument to say he is the strongest player in the team overall. Like, since Zeus came in and it's kind of freed him up a little bit, doesn't have to think so much on his own game. He's got a nice clear in-game leader right now. Adrian's not having to kind of partially micromanage people, focus on his own game. He's actually fragging. It's incredible. This is the thing I didn't see coming. And you know, he kept them competitive. He had some wonderful rounds. So Gambit unlucky to lose, sure. Not unlucky, that's not the right word, but they had one real problem that made it be less competitive than it could have been. And I think if they go back and watch the demo, I think they're gonna get a better handle on, okay, that's our weak spot on train. And equally, anybody who plays Gambit on train right now, that's the Achilles heel. So I thought Gambit, you know, 16-10, it's a respectable scoreline against such great opposition, and it shows Gambit are the real deal. I fully expect Gambit to still go through to the legendary stage, to go through to the playoffs. Virtus Pro get there, and again, that was another prediction that was accurate. But it was a great game with some great moments. Astralis versus G2. So I got this prediction wrong, because I said G2 would win, because I'm not convinced by Astralis. But let me tell you, we get back to that old topic of awful vetoes. Pro teams, terrible vetoes. I'm going to tell you something here. And actually, you know what? Let me do this on the fly. Just so I've actually got some statistical backup to some anecdotal evidence. So let's have a look here. I'm going to basically go through and tell you why I think their veto was fucking awful. G2 Esports here. So, yes, G2 Esports have had some issues on Overpass, right? No doubt about it. So let me tell you why they did the veto they did. So Astralis come in, they take out Nuke, because they know G2 play a bit of Nuke, and they've just gone 16-14 in a loss against Virtus Pro, who are very good on Nuke. G2 take out Mirage, Astralis remove Cash. This is as it is. This is where it goes wrong. G2 take out Overpass. Now, G2 taking out Overpass here, they've like mind-gamed themselves. They fucked themselves, because when Astralis take out Cobblestone, they're left with the randometer basically having to come. Now, if the randometer delivers Dust 2, G2 win this game, I think. The randometer delivers Train. Well, there's no way G2 are beating Astralis on Train. You've got players on this team who have never played in a team that's ever been good on Train. I don't know why Train goes through, and I'm going to tell you why. It was in December. You had G2 play a bunch of Overpass games, and they played in ECS, and they got wrecked by Astralis twice on Overpass, including a 16-2. They got beat by Godsent on Overpass. But here's the thing, if you go through and you look at the results, They've beaten Virtus Pro on Overpass. I mean, sure, so this is online Counter-Strike, but whatever. They've beaten Virtus Pro on Overpass. They've beaten Fnatic on Overpass. They beat Ty Lue at Oakland on Overpass. They beat Envious at Montreal on Overpass. This is a team that can actually fucking play Overpass to a decent standard. Now, let's have a look at Train. Okay, so you go through at Train, and wow, you're having to go back quite some distance. Okay, so Oakland, they got smashed by SK. Let's have a look. Northern Arena, Montreal, they get smashed by Optic. They narrowly beat Liquid, Team fucking Liquid. And what else have we got here? They get 16-0'd by SK Gaming at Epicenter. Why are you picking fucking Train? Why are you leaving that in the randometer? Go with Overpass. It's so fucking frustrating to see that. That is like some mad panic veto. Astralis' best map, hands down Train. What are you thinking? So obviously Astralis just ran all over them. They just fucked them. Glaive, I mean, you know, Moses made the point saying I'm being harsh here. But Glaive had the game of his life. I mean, that's not the game of his life. Glaive will do this once every like 8 games or something stupid. He'll just pull out a ridiculous 30 bomb performance. It was one of the reasons that when we analyzed what Glaive was going to bring to Astralis, again in another video in his channel, I was like, look, the one thing he's going to do is definitely up the fragging stakes, because at that point Carrigan was at rock bottom. So this isn't really the game of his life. It's a fucking phenomenal game, though. I mean, he's 121 ADR, 27 kills. Yeah, he's been an absolute monster. But certainly, when you've got Smiths going 4 for 18, and at this point, it's like, okay, we could all do the jokes, we could all go from the bottom of me heart and get Kappa signs and all that. Justify that performance to me. Somebody, please, just justify it. Because there is no justification. The only thing you can realistically say is, what the fuck were they playing Train for? Smith's at this stage in his career needs comfort picks. He needs to be accommodated. You don't throw him on a map he can't play and then expect great things. Like, oh, it's okay. It's unbelievable. You've literally set him up to fail here with a shit veto. Shox did well. I mean, it's fucking Shox. He's one of the best players in the world. Scream as well, really struggled, didn't get a lot of kills until late. Body was solid, RPK was solid, but ultimately they were clueless. They were getting flanked because they don't know how to do basic setups on Train. G2, please, dude, like, someone link them to this entire segment or something, because I like the guys. I fucking like the guys. I've known Richard for years. I've known Cedric for fucking years. I've known Edward for years. These are good people. I like them. But you've got to fucking... Train has to be the go-to fucking ban. And you can never leave it in against the competent Train side. You barely play it, and when you do, you get fucked. What are you thinking? So I was really frustrated, as you can probably tell. There's nothing really to analyse about that. It's just a dumb veto. SK versus Na'Vi. Alright, now, so keep in mind, been saying it for 2 months, Na'Vi will win this major. Been saying we're going to enter into a phase where Na'Vi are going to be the best team in the world. As soon as they figure out a way to make simple click and work through all of their problems, this is what's going to happen. So when SK versus Na'Vi was called, I was like, this could be a classic encounter. And I felt Na'Vi were going to win it. I predicted Na'Vi to win it. I said it was going to be a comfortable win for Na'Vi. That they were going to show how good they were. Didn't predict a 16-3. Their second 16-3 of the tournament. They did to SK Gaming on Dust 2 what they did to fucking Mouse Sports on Cobblestone. Do you know what I mean? Let that sink in. And let me tell you, they fucking neutralized good players. Some observations. So first of all, Dust 2, definitely not a strong map for SK. But it's not a strong map for Na'Vi, honestly. They've been banning it in other vetoes. So it was like a middle-of-the-pack pick for both teams. So you would expect it to kind of level out. You would probably expect a higher level of competition just on that basis. But here's the thing. Na'Vi again, they don't know that they're really good on this map. It's another ridiculous instance in my opinion, of players kind of not really understanding veto mechanics. They've always had this mental block with this particular map. You know, some of these Astralis players used to have it with Train, if you can believe that. You know, going back, I was told by players in that circle that, you know, they didn't think they were good on Train. All right, cool. It's your best map. Go figure. So this idea that sometimes, you know, players are these kind of like messianic figures is nonsense. It's gibberish. So, anyway. So Na'Vi are going to be good on Dust 2 because they've got all the fucking parts to be good on Dust 2. You got Simple, who he plays FPL in his fucking sleep and just wrecks people on this map. You got Guardian, who again hasn't turned up at the major. This is like a classic Guardian performance, just, you know, middle of the pack average performances at the major. This is like what he used to do, but this is what he used to do when they made it to finals. Seized again, didn't really have to do anything, but you know, Simple and Flamey, they are the twin fucking prongs of the big pitchfork, the big yellow and black pitchfork that is going up your ass. And Flamey has had two fucking amazing games back to back. When you consider where he was not that long ago in terms of his performances and his confidence, this is a fucking transformation. He's the player who's benefited the most from this boot camp. Not Simple, not Edward, not Guardian, not Seized. It's fucking Flamey. 143 ADR, by the fucking way. I think that might be the highest in a game. Sure, it's over 19 rounds because they blew them the fuck out. Here's the thing they did, though. They were winning in individual duels against Fur, who just had a monster game against FaZe. Another thing that's got to stop happening. Fallen, brother, right? Listen to me here. This drop in the AWP to make Fox feel comfortable, what the fuck? What are you doing? I get it, right? Touchy-touchy, feely-feely. You know, I get it, right? You want to make him feel welcome. You want to fucking make the team feel better, less stress. You're a top two player in the fucking world. You're one of the top AWPers, if not the top AWPer in the world. Why are you giving your gun up? What would you do that for? That's got to stop. And it's got to stop soon, or you're going to be, you know, you could conceivably be out of this fucking tournament. Because Fox ain't the one. Fox is the stand-in. You need to treat him like you treat Showtime. It's like you and the boys from SK are all having a big dinner, and Fox is at the end, and he's getting the leftovers. That's how it's got to be if you want to win. This is a fucking major. So I think it's wonderful to see you accommodate Fox, but come the fuck on. He's not the guy who's going to carry you to victory, so don't do it. You're the guy who's going to carry your team to victory. So Na'Vi just fucking absolutely wrecked him, and I'm still feeling really good with my pick of Na'Vi for the fucking major. I never got on the Astralis hype train. Hey, Rich, want to come on the Astralis hype train? We're going to be over here sucking our own dicks about how clever we are. Now I'll be over here just, you know, like, grounded in reality, if that's all right. Bye. So, whatever. Fuck that. Anyway. Let's have a look at the next game, Liquid Fate. Oh, good lord. Oh, the memories. Right, so first of all, like, can I just say as well, like, fuck Moses, right? Because Moses said at the start of the day, which were long days, you can probably hear my voice is fucking blowing out, I'm a little bit tired. Moses said, right, I'm drinking fucking vitamin C supplements to fight off plague before we get to the Fox Theater. Moses said at the start of the day, going, oh, well, at least the last few games will be quick. And I said, don't jinx it, mate, you never jinx it. You never jinx it in this business. He went, no, I'm going to double down on the jinx. There'll be one-sided blowouts. Fucking Moses. Mendoza. Like, what the fuck is that? So naturally, of course, we had overtimes and all. We were all sat there just fucking reamed out, like, in the dressing room, watching fucking, bloody hell. Watching Liquid fucking choke. And, like Mama Cass. So let's have a look, right? Phase 22, Liquid 18 in the end. And, I mean, this game was awful to begin with. FaZe weren't in it. Liquid were all over them. Looked like Liquid were going to have this huge transformation. Predictions were going to be wrong. So, obviously, I took FaZe for this one. This is the value of Carrigan. Right here. This is the value of Carrigan. This guy fucking, completely adapted to what Team Liquid were doing. He saw through, you know, their tactics, knew how to neutralize it, got them kicking and screaming back into the game. Looked like they were going to run away with it. Liquid had a late resurgence because they do have players with some guts on there, Pimp in particular. and in the end, you know, this wasn't a game that was about Elige. Elige was good, but he wasn't the best thing on the server. Thank fuck Nitro finally turned up because he's been absolutely terrible. Managed to get 29 kills. Was, I think, statistically the second best player on the team. So, you know, good turnaround for him. But I think this shows as well, FaZe have a lot of work to do on Nuke. But Carrigan really pulled them kicking and screaming through tactically. Didn't do a lot in terms of frags. But this really looked like it was going to be a Liquid win. And then when FaZe came back into it, and then Liquid came back into it, it's obviously a toss-up. And at that point, you go with, who's got the better mentality? Let me think. If only there was some historical references I could make to Liquid. They are unbelievable. I mean, seriously, you want to talk about teams that need sports psychologists and stuff like that. Liquid have got to be the number one because you can even see it. I mean, they're terrible at masking their nerves. If I was an opponent and I was like, okay, guys, we're in overtime. You know, obviously, we've got to keep our cool, keep our composure. We can win this. I wouldn't, you know, here's the speech. Just look over there. Elige is biting his fucking nails. His fingers are off. You know, fucking everyone's sweating. Pimp's like, ego, ego, ego. Ego's not looking at him. Just body language tells you a million fucking stories. And I'd just be like, look at them. They're going to fucking pieces. Yeah, we got this. Fucking chill. So really, Liquid's mentality when it comes to those crunch stages, you can see the visible moments when the game starts to slip away from them and how they're losing the focus. They become scared of losing rather than wanting, you know, that desire to win. And I think once you get caught in that kind of mindset, it's very destructive, very hard to win games. Zeus will have to do a lot of work on that. I don't know what I'll have to work with. I keep saying I think some of these players in Liquid are fundamentally uncoachable. We shall wait and see. But another loss for Liquid. Another prediction right for me. But God, FaZe struggled. Might want to stay away from Nuke moving forward. Perhaps haven't got that quite as locked down as you think you have. Optic flip side last game. Optic, you know, 16-13. I had Optic winning this. I thought it was going to be comfortable. Flipside didn't really impress me. Made some fundamental mistakes. Again, Optic could have lost this game. NAF was a little bit off the pace. Tarik finally showed up. Apparently, the statistically the worst player going into these games. Like, holy fucking shit, that's wild. I was a little bit fucking perplexed by that. But Tarik finally did put in a performance. But honestly, considering this is meant to be one of their best maps, I was a little bit disappointed in Optic. At least, I suppose, fair enough, you didn't go 0-3. But they could have had no complaints. I mean, like, obviously, Virtus Pro, Astralis, that's super unlucky. Flip side, that's a homer. That's a home banker. You should be beating them if you're Optic. So, Waylander had a good game. Electronic continues to impress. But ultimately, I just felt, you know, it kind of came down to a few rounds. Both teams were kind of awful and a little bit jittery. I guess that's pressure. So, I won't hammer them too much about it, but Optic stay in, Flipside go home. Not really a lot to say about that, other than it probably shouldn't have been as close as what it was. So we get into today's games that are coming up thick and fast. North versus G2, and the loser being eliminated. Well, I don't think North are going to fix their problems overnight. Provided G2 don't fucking go, let's play train, guys. I think we've got it this time. I think G2 will win. I think right now all of the parts on G2 are playing at a level that I wouldn't necessarily have expected them to be at. Body and RPK are playing very well this major, you know, certainly above their average levels. Body's really been revelatory, in my opinion. If you get, you know, Scream in there and Smith's performs functionally, Shox is obviously Shox. I think the way North has been laboring in their games and playing terribly, I think G2 can beat them. If they get a favorable map veto, could be comprehensive. So I'm going to go with G2 for that and North to be eliminated. Envious versus Fnatic. Oh, fuck me in the face. This is tough. Hmm. I haven't even really thought about this, you know, because it's just so hard. So the winner obviously advances to the playoffs. I think based on the whole Envious destroying Godsend, I know Fnatic are a very different prospect. Envious seem to be one of those kind of teams. They need these little pushes, this little momentum. Haven't been massively impressed with Envious, but I got to say, I think given all of Fnatic's problems, two players that seem like they don't want to be there because they don't think they're going to be there, I think Envious will take it, actually. I think it'll be a 16-12 there or thereabouts. But yeah, I'll go with Envious for that one. Mouth Sports versus Liquid, with the loser being eliminated. Oh, ye gods. You know, Mouse Sports get lucky here because I think if they play any other team, you know, they're done. Liquid are, for me, hands down, one of the worst teams here in terms of performance and how they've played. So I got to give it to Mouse Sports, unfortunately. Mouse Sports will beat Liquid. Godsent versus Optic. Never backing Godsent again. So congrats. You have eroded all of my faith. Optic to win. It'll probably be a Strugs again, because I don't think Optic are firing on all cylinders. I think the gravity of the situation is getting to them a little bit. Not every game's important, but here's what I will say. They do have motivators in that team. I think they've got a good support network, whereas I think Godsend are just crumbling, and I think we can all see it. So Optic to win. SK versus Astralis. The winner, obviously, advancing. The loser gets a second chance. SK will lose here to Astralis. I think the stand-in is going to be the deciding factor. It's not that I have any faith in Astralis. As I said, I'm not going to get on the hype train. But I think Astralis is good enough to beat SK, especially after the big win yesterday. So there you have it. And FaZe Gambit. Well, this is possibly the closest game, in my opinion. I've got to say, Gambit have impressed me. FaZe have in fits and starts. FaZe have shown a tendency to struggle to close out games. All about the veto. And on that basis, I'm going to say FaZe are going to edge this. Purely and simply, I think Carrigan will have been up all night, doing his homework, studying everything that he needs to do to get a favorable setup for his team. And I think he's going to do it. Gambit, it's again a little bit unlucky, I suppose. But yeah, I've got to slightly favor FaZe. And that's with all respect to Gambit. Like, I won't even mind getting this prediction wrong, because I think both teams right now, in terms of how they're performing, I think they're equal. I just think, as much as I respect Zeus as an in-game leader, I see him more as a drill sergeant. Whereas I think for cunning and trickery and curveballs, I give it to Carrigan. And I think that's going to be the decider. So there you have it. Those are my thoughts. Anyway, I rambled on a bit longer in this one. Got to go get some more coffee, pump some more supplements into myself. We get a day off on Thursday, so it's only rehearsals. So I'm going to limp across the finish line, much like myself. Thanks a lot for listening to this vlog. And of course, see you on the broadcast.